Luke chapter 15. We'll read from there in just a moment. It's good to see everybody out with us today. Thankful for your presence. We do have several guests with us today, and we're thankful that you've chosen to come and be with us and worship with us. We're missing some of our number, I think, today due to camp that's starting this week, and several of you are going to be taken off for a week of camp, and I hope you have a great week together. I look forward to you coming back. Sitting on top of the United States Capitol building is a 20-foot statue called Freedom Lady. This statue was sculpted in the city of Rome. It was shipped across the Atlantic Ocean, where she now sits on her perch in D.C. Interesting story about this statue is that during the delivery, the ship carrying Freedom Lady encountered this fierce storm. And so there were these huge waves to where they decided that they were going to have to throw some cargo over in order to survive the storm. And so they were throwing cargo over, and then they came to grab Freedom Lady and to throw her overboard. But it was at that moment when the captain shouted, "No, never. We'll flounder before we throw Freedom away." And so Lady Freedom was saved and now stands on top of the Capitol Dome today. And it's all because one man stood for freedom. I want you to think about that word this morning, freedom. It's a powerful word. It's a powerful word, I think, for our country, because men and women have lost their lives so that we might have freedom in this country. Of course, today is the 4th of July, and you've seen lots of American flags waving all over the place this week, because that flag represents that we are free and we are thankful to God for the freedoms that we have. Just think about the freedoms that we have. We have the freedom of speech. We have the freedom to go wherever it is that we want to go. We have the freedom to drive whatever kind of vehicle we want to drive. We have the freedom to work where we want to work. We have freedom from oppression. You think about the precious freedom that we have today to gather together as God's family and worship Him today. What a great freedom that we have to do that. But even in this country, I want you to understand that we still do not have absolute freedom. And you think about that. We wouldn't want to live in a place where you have absolute freedom. I mean, even in this great country, I still don't have the freedom to do whatever it is that I want to do. I may be able to drive whatever car I want to drive, but I am not free to drive that car as fast as I want to drive it. I'm free to make money, but I am not free to steal money from you. I'm maybe free to not like your car, but I'm not free to take my 9-iron and break all the windows in. I'm not free to do that. That's why we have laws. But anytime laws are added, we understand that that's when a little bit of our freedom is taken away. And so it doesn't matter if you live in America, it doesn't matter if you live anywhere in Europe or Canada or Afghanistan, wherever it is that might be, we are all slaves. And all of us, I think, value our freedom in this country, but there is no such thing as total, absolute freedom. And that principle, I think, is clearly seen in a familiar story to some of us. And it may not be a familiar story to you this morning, but I want to read it to us this morning in Luke chapter 15 and look at this story of the freedom of illusion, and then ultimately the freedom that is found in God. Luke chapter 15 at verse 11, Jesus says this: "There was a man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me.' And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country, and there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate." So I want you to notice at the beginning of this story that here is this young son who is searching for freedom. Verse 12, it says, he says, "Father, give me the share of the property that is coming to me." Now, if you're familiar with Luke chapter 15, it is a chapter about things that are lost. Jesus tells three parables here in this chapter about lost things. But there is a difference in this parable that we're looking at this morning than the other two. The first parable that Jesus tells is the parable of the lost sheep. But that lost sheep just wanders away. It begins to graze and it begins to just lose track of where it is. It doesn't hear the shepherd's voice and it just wanders away. And then Jesus tells the story about a woman who loses a coin. And that coin was just simply misplaced. She couldn't remember what had happened to it. But what's different about this story is this boy made a definite decision to leave home. His lost condition was deliberate, and his lost condition was willful. You see, this boy wanted to be free. He wanted to be free from home. He wanted to be free from the restraints of home. I don't know what it was like growing up in that house, but I imagine maybe he was tired of the times when he would come in and his father would say, "Where were you last night? Who were you with? Where are you going today? Who are you going to be with today?" And so he wanted to get away maybe from his father and the restraints of his father. Or maybe he wanted to leave home because he wanted to get away from the restraints of the religion that he was in. And so the story goes that he divided his property between them. So his father grants him his request. And here's the thing we need to know about this, is that the father was under no legal obligation to grant the request of this son. But just like our Heavenly Father, God doesn't force anyone to stay home. He doesn't force anyone to stay with him. Maybe this father knew that if I force him to stay with me, he'll be bitter and he'll be resentful. Maybe the father tried to give him some advice before he left. But that was not what the boy was looking for. The boy did not want another speech from his father. What the boy wanted was to be free. And so he was given, a few days later, his freedom. It says, "Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country." See, just picture in your mind this son who is given his portion of his inheritance from his father. He's looking for freedom and he finally leaves home. He's walking away and he feels as if he's just all the shackles that he had on his arms are just released. And he's finally able to be who he wants to be. He's able to do what he wants to do. He's able to be with who he wants to be with. And so here's this boy. He takes off with a pocket full of money, maybe a bounce in his step, ready to be his own boss, make his own choices. He doesn't have to answer to anyone. And here's what we see from this story is he didn't just go down the street to the next block. He went far away from home. He wanted to be so far from the restraints of home. And so he gets to this place and he was free. Or was he? You see, the prodigal son soon discovered, as we read in this story, he soon discovered that freedom is just an illusion. Because in the far country, the more that he got what he wanted, the less he wanted what he got. You see, in this story, we see that the son did not escape bondage. He simply exchanged one form of bondage to another. He was free from home. He was free from the restraints of his father and his religion. But what we see in this story, he was still not free. And there's a lot of people who are like the prodigal son, who want to leave behind the restraints of God our Father. Now, for some, it may be that it's just the decision not to be baptized. It's the decision not to submit and obey the gospel and bow your knee before the Father. And you just refuse to ever serve God. But for others, it could be a gradual weakening of your zeal and your passion to serve God and to live for Him. And you just begin to lose your interest and you no longer meditate on Scripture. You no longer read Scripture. You don't have the desire to tell others about the gospel of Christ. And then you just decide that you're not going to be involved with the local church. Why? Because you want to do what you want to do. You want to be free. Now, here's the thing we need to remember, that God will give you that freedom. God will give you that freedom, but does that mean that you are really free? No, it does not. Because in releasing ourselves from the will of God, we inevitably get locked up in the shackles of another bondage. Look at the story of the prodigal son. He took a journey into a far country, and Jesus says there he squandered his property in reckless living. Literally, what he did is when he got to the far country, he just scattered everything that he had. He just pulled it. When he got into town, he said, "Hey, everybody, I'm here. Party is on me tonight. Everybody hang around me. We'll have a good time." This money was just burning a hole in his pocket. But he wasted it all. He squandered it all by trying to have a good time. You see, he broke free from the restrictions of home. He wanted to be in control. However, he was being controlled. He wasn't free. He was still a slave to his own selfish, sinful desires. You see, he was a slave to his own weaknesses. Now, here's what this, I think, relates to us. We all have our weaknesses. We all have our weaknesses. And those weaknesses can really come to show up when restrictions are removed. I'll give you an example of this. When a person turns 21, they are legally, in our country, they are legally free to drink alcohol. But statistics say that there are some people who will do that, and they will become an alcoholic. They will take on a new bondage. And what they will do is they will exchange the bondage of the law that says you can't drink until you're 21 to now the bondage of their own weakness, which says, I can't stop. And for people like that, alcohol will become a necessity for them. They will come to a time in their life where they will have to drink. They don't even want to, but they will have to do it. They will become addicted to alcohol. They won't want to do it because of what it does to their family, their job, but they are hooked. You see, they are not free. They are a slave to their own weaknesses. And we're all slaves to our weaknesses. As Christians, we strive to grow. We strive to mature. But from time to time, we fall short. And we wonder why we keep sinning. Well, we simply prove to ourselves that we are slaves to our own weaknesses. I don't know what your weakness is. I just use that illustration because I think it makes the point so clear. But whatever your weakness is, it may not be my weakness. You may be shackled to the chains of pride or greed or lust. But you see, when we try to get away from God with His commands, His restraints, when we try to do that, we're still not free because we become bound to our own weaknesses and sin. Let me show you what Jesus says in John chapter 8. In John chapter 8, here's what Jesus says about this idea of freedom in John chapter 8. in John chapter 8. Let's start reading at verse 31. John chapter 8 at verse 31. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Now they answered him in verse 33, "We are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" Now think about what these Jews just claimed. They just claimed that they had never been enslaved to anyone. How can you say we'll be free? Now that's not true, is it? I mean, they were under the thumb of the Egyptians before Moses led them out. The Philistines invaded their land in 1 Samuel. They were in Babylonian captivity for 70 years. And while Jesus was talking right here in this context, they were subjects of the Roman Empire. They were surrounded by Roman soldiers. Now, they weren't slaves in the sense of personal property of any Roman, but they were slaves. The Romans dictated the conduct of the Jews. But the Jewish leaders said, "Well, we are free." And they did that because the Jews, well, they set a tremendous value on freedom. They knew the value of freedom, which that's what they held as the birthright of every Jew. And so the Jews, they were saying here, "We are free. We have our independence." But here's the thing. Jesus was not talking about Babylonian captivity. He wasn't talking about the Roman Empire. He had another slave in mind. Look at verse 34. Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin." Now think about it. People will say, "I want to do what I want to do with my life. That's what I'm going to do." But the reality is, the person who sins does not do what he likes. Do you hear that? The person who sins does not do what he likes. He does what sin likes. You see, he becomes a slave to the sin that has mastered him. And Jesus says, "No man who lives in sin can ever be said to be free. In fact, the one who lives in sin is a slave to sin." Notice in Romans chapter 6. In Romans chapter 6, Paul will say this in verse 16. Romans chapter 6. In Romans chapter 6 at verse 16. Romans 6 at verse 16. Paul says, "Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin which leads to death or of obedience which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed. And having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness." So you think about what Paul says there. You are either a slave of righteousness or you are a slave of sin. You have a master. You are obeying someone or something. Paul even describes this struggle that we face in the next chapter over in Romans chapter 7, verse 15 of Romans 7. "I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate." In verse 22, "I delight in the law of God in my inner being, but I see in my members another law waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members." Now, what does Paul do here in this struggle? What's the solution? Well, I love what he says in verse 24. "Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" Then he says in verse 25, "Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin." Paul didn't deceive himself with the mirage that he could find freedom by cutting himself loose from God's laws and God's commands. And here's what I want us to grasp this morning. Young people, hear me on this. The solution for freedom is not found by running away from God. The solution is found in God. And the prodigal son found this out. He wanted to be free, and so he left home. He partied, he lived it up. But he discovered when the money dried up, he wasn't free at all. Look back in that text in Luke chapter 15 and look at verse 15. After it says a severe famine, he'd spent everything in verse 14. Severe famine arose in that country. He began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out in verse 15 to one of the citizens of that country who sent him into his field to feed pigs. Do you notice that? That he was sent. He was sent. He wasn't free at all. Listen, you can make the choice to cut yourself away from God and away from his restraints. You can make the choice. You always have that choice to live in sin. But the result of the freedom of living apart from God's law makes you a slave of sin. Anytime we cut ourselves off from the restraint restraints that are in our lives, and anytime we travel off into that far country of sin, I'll tell you, we're going to be disappointed because there are restraints there as well. Sin does not deliver as advertised, and what sin does deliver and always delivers are unadvertised consequences. Consequences and restraints that you never dreamed would be possible. So the prodigal son is feeding the pigs. He has no friends. You read this story, he's destitute, he's starving. Here's a young man who wants his freedom. He's still searching for freedom. So what does he do in verse 17? But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger?" So while he found himself in bondage to sin, he's having his light bulb moment here. Things are beginning to click in his mind. And what began to click in his mind is that sin does not satisfy. This isn't where I thought I would end up when I left my father's house. I'm not where I wanted to be. I'm not free. So he decides to swallow his pride and go home. We're there in that home, in his father's home, were slaves who actually had more freedom than he did. And so as you read this story, he travels up the road and his father, his loving father, compassionate father, is watching for him. And Jesus tells the story of this father who runs up the road to meet him. And he welcomes his son home, not as a slave, but he welcomes him back as a son. And you see, the young man learned something so important, that the greatest freedom in all the world is to be a slave to the restricting will of a loving father. That's the greatest freedom you'll ever have. True freedom is found when we submit ourselves to the will of God. Now, we could sometimes be like this story. There was an explorer, Bob Bartlett. The story I read about where he went on an expedition where they went and they trapped a large number of birds and they brought them back to this country. And as they were crossing the ocean, somehow one of the birds was able to break free and get out of the cage and fly away. And everybody was watching this bird fly away in the middle of the ocean. And they all thought, well, we'll never see that bird again. A few hours later, everyone's looking around and they see in the sky this bird that comes flying back and lands back on the ship. And you can tell the bird is just absolutely exhausted, because while it was out over the water and that bird thought that it was breaking free from that cage and going to find freedom, he found out that the best place for him to be was back there on that ship. And so he lands and he's exhausted, and he knew that that's the only way to safely cross the ocean. You see, there is no real freedom in this world. We can try to run away and go off into the far country, but there is no real freedom in this world except in the will of God. Except in the will of God. And like that bird, sometimes we can wear ourselves out trying to run away or ignore the will of God only till we find out that the only way to get across is with Jesus. Jesus says this in Luke chapter 4. Let me close with this. In Luke chapter 4, it's a great scene where Jesus comes to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, his home. And he goes into the synagogue on the Sabbath, and he stands up to read. In verse 17 of Luke chapter 4, the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. And he unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written. Verse 18, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." This is what Jesus came to do. This is what Jesus says. He rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." This is what Jesus came to do, to set us free, to find ourselves living in the will of God. You know, some of us who, most of us, I think, have been citizens of America. We've enjoyed the freedoms that we have. We've never, although we have these freedoms, the interesting thing is I wonder if we've ever been free on the inside. Have we ever been set free from the guilt of past sins or from the shame of what we've done? Some of us know what it's like to be a slave of anger or lying or selfish habits or selfish patterns, and those things are hard to break. But then along comes Jesus, the liberator, with the best news possible, because he's right there and he says, "Everyone who commits sin is a slave of sin." But he goes on to say, "If the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed." You see, the only freedom we will ever find is by being a servant of the Master, Jesus Christ. And don't think that freedom in Christ then just gives you this liberty to do whatever it is that you want to do. Rather, it's a freedom from sin. It's a freedom from the guilt of sin, that we have been set free because of the precious blood of Christ. We used to sing a camp song. I don't know if we've ever sang it in a worship. "Pierce My Ear." I don't know if you guys know that song, "Pierce My Ear." Back in the days of the Old Testament, slaves were given the opportunity to go free every 7 years. But there was a provision in the law when that happened that a slave could remain voluntarily with his master. He had the freedom to say at that moment, "I choose not to be free. I love my master. He's been good to me. I trust him. He gives me security. He provides me with everything that I need. I'm happy as a slave. I'm happy." And in situations like that, the master was instructed to bore a hole in the slave's ear. And that pierced ear would signify that the slave had willingly chose to serve his master for life. What a beautiful illustration of our relationship with Christ. As our master, he's been good to us. We love him. We enjoy those blessings that we talked about this morning. And we ask for the privilege of the pierced ear. And when we do that, we willingly submit ourselves to his ownership and his will. Will we realize this morning that if you're searching for a life of freedom, I assure you, you will never find it apart from Jesus Christ. Realize that anything apart from Christ will result in pain. And so do what the prodigal son did. Come to your senses. Have your light bulb moment and choose to come home. And you can come home to a loving embrace. If we can help you with that, come to the front right now while we stand and sing.